It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. What a day. We have comedian Margaret Cho on. And Jim, guess what else is for breakfast? Hot Brie.
Yeah.
Actress Melissa Fitzgerald. I was telling Jackie she has some great stories. James Gandolfini was at her wedding, and she has some great stories. What a great guy he was. And so, just a shock. And exactly my age. Oh, that's always...
Yeah. The thing is, he looked 51 10 years ago. So,
yeah.
Hard living, I guess.
Loved him. Loved The Sopranos. All right.
I never really watched The Sopranos.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a whole night around it. We cooked Italian. It was a whole thing. There was a dance. We had a Sopranos dance. It was a whole thing.
Remember when we were working at the Disney Channel building and James Gandolfini walked by the window because he was going on a show that was right next door to us? Do you remember that?
No.
Really?
Okay.
You were drunk.
Probably.
Probably. Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been scared. Like, oh my God!
Yeah, he was in the studio right
next
door to us.
Someone put out a hit on me. Disney has finally put out a hit on me.
Shunk.
Exactly. All right. Paula Deen.
Oh boy.
You know what?
Oh dear. I'm guessing Rod Flair Mary's a big fan.
Sure.
She had some thoughts, Jim. About. Mm. Oh, thank you, Travis. She had some thoughts about. Oh heavens. Well. You know, certain racial...
People of a certain descent.
Right.
A certain continent.
Yes. she clarifies she only uses the N-word to describe bad black guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And she decides which are the bad ones.
You know what, though? Okay. I heard that a lot when I lived in the South.
Really?
Yes.
I see. So then that was okay?
Yes. Mm. I was told when I was a kid that there's a difference between black people... And
oh, good,
well,
good.
I'm
good
like,
to know.
Chris Rock
really?
Said the same thing.
Yes. Just in case you'd like the fun facts before we talk to Carl Frisch about it. Paula Deen, you know, she's a butter fan.
She likes the
Not
butter.
Not so much a fan of the N-words.
And the lard.
So much.
And she also got clocked in the head with a frozen ham, remember that?
Oh.
With
well,
a frozen
now,
ham. Oh,
now,
frozen ham. I think it's a frozen hand.
Well,
ham
now deservedly, yeah. Obviously.
Huh? We're getting back to... Sopranos territory there.
Paula Deen has allegedly taken an interesting tactic in defending herself against an explosive lawsuit filed by a former employee accusing her of racism, sexual harassment, and assault. The National Enquirer reports she's just given a deposition in which she admits that, yes, of course she throws around racial slurs at work and thinks an elegant idea for a wedding might be to staff it with black men pretending to be slaves. Who doesn't? We're all Americans here, right? This is from Gawker.
Oh, okay.
The Enquirer purports to obtain a video of Deen's May 17th legal deposition. She said it's just what they are. They're jokes. Most jokes are about Jewish people, rednecks, black folks. I can't determine what offends another person.
Most people can.
Do.
To the inspiration behind her idea to staff her brother Bubba. Oh, surprising, her brother's name is Bubba. Brother Bubba's wedding with black men pretending to be slaves.
What?
Turns out it struck her when she had dinner at a restaurant where the wait staff reminded her of slaves, and she thought it might be not be right. The whole entire waiter staff was middle-aged black men, and they had on beautiful white jackets and a black bow tie. I mean, it was really impressive, she said. That restaurant represented a certain era in America. Oh, yes, it did.
Wow.
After the Civil War, during the Civil War, before the Civil War, it was not only black men. It was... She's not a big fan of history, is she? Because after the Civil War, it was probably a little... Okay, never mind. It was not only black men, it was black women. I would say they were slaves. The filer of the lawsuit, Lisa Jackson, former general manager of a restaurant owned by Deen and her brother, claimed last year that the chef specifically expressed her desire for a bevy of tap-dancing little N-words.
Oh, boy.
To send her brother off to married life with Southern flair. Unfortunately, Deen allegedly decided against the plan out of fear the media might somehow twist her cute idea into something racist.
Huh.
In her suit, Jackson alleges Deen said, well, what I would really like is a bunch of little... N-words to wear long-sleeve white shirts, black shorts, and black bow ties. You know, in the Shirley Temple days, they used to tap around. Now, that would be a true Southern wedding, wouldn't it? But we can't do that because the media would be on me about that. Yeah, that's crazy.
Is this some sort of hoax? I mean...
doesn't it sound like it? You're like, really?
Is this from The Onion?
Yes, in this headline today, Paula Deen clarifies she uses the N-word to describe a bad black guy.
Well,
so she wanted a bunch of bad black guys to tap dance at her brother's wedding.
I'm sure there's
because that makes even more sense.
Let's talk to Carl Frisch about it. Carl Frisch. Bullfightstrategies.com. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Yo!
You know, I picked a horrible time to go on a diet when Butter's looking for a new spokesperson.
Exactly.
It was your tweet after Paula Deen, Butter's going to need a new spokesperson, y'all. Wow. Wow. I'm glad she clarified, aren't you? That's always more entertaining than
clarified
the
original. Butter?
I think she's getting ready to run for Congress as a
right?
Republican
I
friend.
I think so, too. Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to read the update here, Carl, just to see if this gets any better. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, no, I can't find it here. I don't know. I'll get to it.
It doesn't get any better.
No?
No. In fact, she's starting a video series called It Doesn't Get Better.
Yeah.
For old white homophobes. All right. Carl Frisch, what else is going on? Lisa Murkowski, breaking news, as you tweeted yesterday, becomes the third GOP senator to support freedom to marry.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, she's number three of the Republicans. I think that makes 52 or 53, maybe 54 senators overall. And as we all know, 54 senators supporting something doesn't really make for legislation. So
right.
We also found out that 51 senators now are co-sponsoring, not just supporting, co-sponsoring the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And, of course, when you have 51 co-sponsors, it means it can sit around forever.
Yeah, well, exactly. When are you hearing anything there in D.C. about when the marriage equality rulings might come down?
Well, we're going to give announcements today at 10 of some new
10 Eastern, right?
Yeah, 10 yeah. Eastern time about some of the decisions, and I have every reason to believe that we will be waiting until next Monday.
That's what I've heard, too.
Really? Oh, is that what you
yeah.
said? Yeah. Of course.
Well,
we
I mean,
vacation.
There's,
right.
there's like 20 cases left. There's four really big ones, one of which was argued in October, so, you know, months and months before they even talked about DOMA or Prop 8. So my expectation is that maybe we'll hear about the Fisher Affirmative Action case today.
Okay.
And
that's
we'll hear about... We'll hear about Shelby County, the Voting Rights Act case, before we hear about DOMA or Prop 8.
Aw, by the way, I loved your other breaking news tweet yesterday. GOP Congress passes Protecting Masturbating Fetus Act of 2013, sponsored by Representative Jerkoff, Republican of Picker Red State. Hashtag good luck with lady vote.
Well, I don't know what strategy they seem to be pursuing. You've got these dueling rallies here of abolish the IRS, the crazy anti-immigrant folks. You've got the bill to protect masturbating fetuses.
Right.
Which, by the way, is a great name for a band.
Yeah.
Masturbating fetuses.
Yeah, somebody ought to grab that.
Fetus.
Grab that
yeah.
quick for your garage band. Yeah.
I already registered the URL, www.harrypalmdozygote.com. But it's just ridiculousness. I mean, this one guy, I can't remember the name of the congressman. He's a Republican, obviously.
Right.
Was saying that one of the reasons you have to do this is because male fetuses masturbate in the womb.
Right.
Yeah, before they have genitalia, they're, yeah, it's pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
No, I mean, because honestly, the Republicans, the rapey Republicans, that caucus, the rapey caucus has said some incredible things, but that one really was just like 360-degree Scooby time. You're like, what? Did he actually just say what I think he just said?
It's like a 12-year-old boy wrote his talking points. At some point, you have to question where they're coming up with this BS. I mean, it's obviously not tested with sane people to see how it's going to, you know, how people would react. But, you know, just another example of Congress doing something the Senate's not even going to touch.
I mean, it literally, like, you can't write this stuff. You go, and he's an OBGYN? Seriously?
Of course he is. That's what makes it great.
I mean, seriously. Does a woman
like
come in and go,
cherry
I think the baby's
top.
Kicking. Oh, no, he's just whacking off. Don't worry about it. It'll be really? That's somebody's doctor.
Yeah, and, you know, now that we know this, I have a feeling we're going to have a rash of blind fetus babies born.
With hairy palms. How did he grow
now,
hair
is
in
this,
there?
Is right. this now, for Catholics, is this a new original sin?
Apparently.
So, and Carl Frisch, the other topic I wanted to... Chris, did we post this? I love this story. The NSA story exposed a deepening schism on the left by Bob Seska. Yes, I said it to you.
Okay.
But you know, it's interesting. It's causing once again. You know, we saw this during the primaries. We saw. I mean, we're you know, I and among other liberals are getting letters. You're not the right kind of liberal. You suck. I mean, it is interesting to me, right? That I think this is one of those subjects that is designed to divide the left. Don't you think?
Well, I mean, I happen to look at the president on any range of issues, so. Am I completely happy with this NSA stuff? No. I mean, at the end of the day, these are not the things that I want the president doing, and in large part because I don't want you know, a potential Republican president having these powers either.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not pleased as punch about it, but I'm looking at everything else. I'm looking at all the other issues that are on the table. And, you know, am I happy about that one issue? No. But I don't tend to get consumed by one issue politics.
Yeah.
So,
I guess what I don't understand is why there has to be that, you know, you suck, you're not the right kind of liberal, that, you know what I mean? It just splits people. I was interesting. Chris in San Diego sent me the story. He just says, "Hi, Mama. Probably as you are, I'm disturbed by the flailing about among those who either deify Snowden and Glenn Greenwald or those of us who approach this with a healthy skepticism." With that in mind, Bob Seska of the Daily Banner has been doing brilliant yeoman's work over the past couple of weeks approaching the whole NSA Snowden affair with a healthy skepticism that you, I, Hal Sparks, and others instinctively and correctly do, I think. Anyway, we just posted it, but I just wanted to get your tape because it's that herding cats thing among liberals that I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I am allowed to have a different opinion than Tom Hartman, or, you know what I mean, Randy Rhodes is allowed to have a different opinion than Al Franken or whatever, right?
Yeah, I think that's what makes it great. I mean, when you hear the right wing talk about a big tent, they actually mean like a giant tinfoil hat.
Right.
When we talk about a big tent, we really mean it. I mean, we've got a lot of diversity in this party. And the idea that we would ever march in lockstep, look, we as a party overall know when we've gone too far overall. Think back to like 2004 when Democrats were voting for the president's tax cuts and W's tax cuts and No Child Left Behind and the Iraq War. The party was pretty unified in saying, nope, we do not like this. Stop it. And, you know, so I think it's healthy for the party to have a difference of opinion on certain issues.
Yeah. No,
and there's a lot more commonality, in terms of, not wanting what's happening to happen. It's just a matter of degrees of how angry somebody might be.
Right, right. Yeah, and what to do about it. I mean, I was saying,
right.
I had Alan Grayson on last week. I love Alan Grayson. We need the Alan Graysons of the world. But, you know, his amendment that he was trying to pass, it's not going to pass. You're not going to get people to say, you know, stop screening everything. You know, all phone calls or internet, blah, 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 right? I mean, there's got to be, I think there is a debate about security and privacy, but I'm just saying, I think that it's going to fall.
But I think the congressman knew that when he offered the amendment. I mean,
yeah,
even if he
won't
admit it, he knew it when offered the amendment, but at least it started a conversation.
Yes, I agree.
And I think it's important to have those conversations. And, you know, if liberals had not been there to push back, there'd be no FISA courts on warrantless wiretaps.
Yeah.
If liberals had not been there to push back, this president probably would have walked into office thinking that he could do whatever the hell
but
he wanted to.
This article, and I'll read from some of it next, but, you know, Carl, I think it's interesting about how to do that constructively rather than go, screw you, Obama, I'm going to stay home and not vote, and then we get a Tea Party Congress, or screw you guys, I'm going to boycott your radio show and get you thrown off the air because, do you know what I mean? There is a constructive way and a non-constructive way, so... That's all. I'm sorry. That was a little personal thing.
sounds like it.
Sorry. This just got personal. All right. Carl Frisch, great stuff as always, honey. We will see you the week after next.
Have a good one. I have to go take care of my masturbating fetus.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks. All right. Good job. Thank you. 19 minutes. One of his funniest tweets ever, and that is saying something. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
No. No, you cannot. No. Not going
to
happen.
Do it. What happened to the can I get a what part?
That's right. It. This is like...
There's another part.
This is like a fever nightmare. You know?
I told this thing in surgery yesterday that you said if crystal meth had a sound, that would be it.
Yeah. What'd she say?
My spinning glass. She laughed.
She laughed with an evil
glint
in her eye.
I'm just saying, can I get a what is the accompanying part to can I get a whoop?
That's all there was.
No, I'll go back. We'll go back and listen. Oh. We'll have to redo that.
No, we're not.
Okay, yes,
we will. I am not going
to
be subjecting myself to that again.
No.
Or put my foot down here.
Or you could hit yourself in the head with a hammer.
That would be more comfortable.
Go work for Paula Deen instead. That would be more pleasant than having to listen to that again. All right. So I was talking to Carl. We posted this, yes?
Yes, we did.
Look at me. I'm just barking orders at you left and right.
I posted it yesterday. I just didn't remember posting it.
Oh, all right.
I was drunk. And getting that song for you.
Okay.
I had brain damage from putting that together.
You need to be drunk to put that together.
Exactly. But now he has to redo it.
Okay. Soften the blow.
Right. I was reading Carl at Chris in San Diego sent me this. We were just talking about, and we've been talking about this. We will talk to Melissa Fitzgerald about it because she's perhaps going to run for Congress. And I think there's Bob Sesko writes a really good piece. We posted it, the NSA story exposed a deepening schism on the left. He mentions our masturbating fetus congressman, Representative Michael Burgess, Republican of Texas.
Uh-huh.
Who said that the male fetus is, and he was saying, I'm not sure there's anyone equivalent on the left, but he said what's become glaringly obvious over the last couple of weeks is that a popular, highly visible faction of the left has grown increasingly divorced from reality and reason. Not Burgess crazy, but disturbingly unhinged, knee-jerk, and highly susceptible to groupthink. A left-wing schism has been both exposed and exacerbated by the NSA story, See, this is the problem. So now you're going to shoot at this guy. Now you're going to go, Bob Seska's an idiot, right?
I didn't say that.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. This is what happens. Like, the minute anyone expresses an opinion on the left that's different from someone else's, they go, oh, that guy's an idiot, or oh, she's an idiot.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
You said that.
Bob Seska, we've quoted him before. He's all right, he's nobody. He's nothing, Jim. All right.
The Germans are not terribly happy with Obama right now.
Okay.
Because they've had some experience with this stuff.
Okay. Can I express another opinion on the show or no? All right, I'm going to have one of those days, I can tell. Jim exemplified what this piece is all about. Okay, see?
Why not be open to hearing all points
sure.
of view and then forming your own
right.
from those
right.
all points of view?
Right, okay.
Just saying. So Al Franken is completely invalid now as a human being and a senator?
That.
Randy Rhodes, no?
I'm not arguing with you about
okay,
that.
Fine, yes you are.
I'm not arguing with you
about
that.
In a roundabout way, you kind of are.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
A left-wing schism...
on this show!
...has been... A fault line has just opened up right here between Jim and I.
The mouth of hell.
Both exposed and exacerbated by the NSA story, leaving two very distinct factions, one side pragmatic liberals with a skeptical eye on these events and the other on a well-known clique of utopians who refuse to acknowledge the realities of politics. There's a Tea Party emerging on the left.
Okay,
did I just
right.
say that yesterday? The left and right meet in this anti-government crazy? 9/11 was caused by the Bush administration nonsense? Okay.
Thermite is not a component of jet fuel.
Oh, God.
I have to say, this is a perfect example, Jim. This is like a skit we pre-planned, and we know we don't pre-plan anything here. There's a Tea Party emerging on the left, slowly and without the actual Tea Party's major party support, but a lefty Tea Party nonetheless. Some people are calling it the Green Tea Party because of Glenn Greenwald. Green tea.
Sure, I get it.
Right.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's already underway, minus the tea bags. For now, it's orbiting around the binary Greenwald Snowden system, armed with invective, quaint idealism, and Obama bot keyboard macros Thanks. Ready to hurl in the direction of anyone who dares to examine the veracity and wisdom of Edward Snowden's leakage and so-called heroism.
Quaint idealism like Daniel Ellsberg.
That's kind of insulting the way he said that,
yeah.
though.
Okay.
That's a little insulting.
Well, how many times do I get called an Obama bot?
I know.
Okay. What's astonishing and disturbing is the recklessness and ignorance of this subgroup, its willingness to embrace the actions of a random IT hacker character who only emerged 10 days ago and who remains curiously vague on key areas of his story.
I'm not endorsing him at all.
Isn't about Snowden or Greenwald. They just happen to be the ringleaders this week. Remember when the Republican Party and the broader conservative movement embraced a nobody named James O'Keefe? When he purported to have evidence of systematic abuses and wrongdoing with Acorn and Planned Parenthood, it turned out he was a fraud who selectively edited his videos. While it's entirely possible that Snowden's story is 100% true, it's also possible he's a smarter, better-spoken James O'Keefe, whose only goal is to instigate. O'Keefe certainly spurred the right into action, so has Snowden on the left, but at what cost? Just as soon as the ship had begun to turn slowly leftward, following years of right-wing political domination, the left is in danger of running face-first into a credibility trap latched to the wagons of two men who haven't been entirely forthcoming. what I've been saying, too. Even if... Okay.
I had lots of questions about Snowden. I don't know.
Even if Snowden turns out to be 100% on the level, it's difficult to embrace his motives and methods, especially when it comes to his utterly irresponsible
because of the way he's gone about
it. The G20 surveillance operation. But the left-wing Tea Party appears to believe that if you think this particular leak was a bad idea, you're automatically an apologist for the Obama government, a mindless servant of the establishment. Thank you, Bob Fetka.
He's a little over the top.
All right, well, there's more.
He could have a little less invective in there.
So can some other people on the left that call me the C-word.
That doesn't mean that either one of them are right.
See what I've done now? Stirred it up, haven't I?
Oh, boy.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I feel like we're in a Woody Allen movie, except I've laughed a few times in the last hour.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, just warning you, the Paula Deen story does get betterer.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It gets better. Okay. All right, we'll update you on the latest on that in a moment. Eric in Georgia, in the meantime, on the NSA thing and the schism on the left, as they say. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Steph, I love you, baby. But look, it seemed like to me lately, you know, every time, you know, when I really get a chance, I'm off from work and listen to your show. Mm-hmm. It seemed like to me that you are picking up these right-wing issues, you know, and you're arguing them, you know, 2 and 3 days, Rand Paul, you know, the drone issue. You know, it seems like you liberals are so quick to pick up these right-wing issues and run with them, these people. I told you on the show why Rand Paul was doing what he was doing. I come on there and said he was trying to protect people like Snowden with these drone issues, these right-wing groups. They were being surveillance. The FBI came on and said that they are using these drones for surveillance. Right. This is what he's doing, and these are the people he's protecting. This person also gave to Rand Paul's campaign campaign.
Oh, Snowden did,
issue.
Yeah.
I would like somebody to question Rand Paul and find out if they're actually been in cahoots and been talking with this guy, Snowden, before this actually happened.
Well, that's what I was
he was doing to China.
Right.
He is also the one who exposed the drones
and
things. This guy, is the leaker.
Yeah, I got it, Eric. I mean, that's all we're saying. And how... Sparks expressed skepticism yesterday, too. If you express skepticism...
Well, I'm skeptical about Snowden, too.
Okay.
I've said that over and over again, but you don't listen to me. What?
I'm sorry, what? I wasn't listening to you.
You don't listen to each other.
What?
Sheesh.
Yeah, I love when people say I don't allow dissent. He's here every day, and he hates me.
And then you shoot me down every time.
Yeah, you shut him up by saying you're stop being a naysayer on my show.
Exactly.
You've said those exact words.
Stop it.
Over and over again.
Stop it.
You've said those exact words.
Everyone knows I
have
no control over this show, for God's sakes.
You have the right to agree with me. That's your...
Deborah in Pittsburgh, I'm not talking to you now. All right. She writes, Steph, there was a comment in the New York Times, you're either with Snowden or you're with Cheney.
What?
I thought,
That's completely untrue.
See, this is what I mean. I thought, how strange that to me they seem like flip sides of the same coin. Cheney believed that he could bypass a duly elected government and enact policies he likes just because he likes them, while Snowden believed he can sabotage policies enacted by a duly elected government just because he doesn't like them. Either way, neither man seems to have much respect for representative democracy. All right, I'm just saying. Deborah has a right to an opinion, too.
Well,
Bob Seska, who I'm not done with.
Comparing it to Cheney, though, is...
That's insane.
I know.
Okay. We all agree on that.
Opinions
Good.
Are like holes. Okay. Everyone's got one. They all stink. Here we go. This is the NSA story exposed a deepening schism on the left by Bob Seska. A key aspect of the NSA outrage is the blind endorsement of the view that the U.S. should disassemble most, if not all, of its surveillance operations and whatever remains of it after the call ought to be conducted in the light of day. Based on what we've been reading, and to paraphrase a notorious line, it appears as if the goal is to shrink the U.S. intelligence community small enough to drown it in a bathtub. Meanwhile, we're evidently supposed to be the only industrialized nation that doesn't spy on other nations, a practice that's existed since nations were invented. I'm not interested in being part of a movement that seeks to cripple America's basic ability to function diplomatically on the international stage. I suppose I'm just an Obama bot automaton for questioning...
Automaton.
Automaton. Whew, for questioning... A stunted worldview that demands we only surveil nations that have declared war against us. I'm not interested in attaching myself to a movement whose collective judgment is light years beyond the zero barrier between reality and puerility. If I'm understanding this correctly, we're not supposed to use drones, we're not supposed to engage in surveillance of any kind other than in war, and we're supposed
no,
to
you're not understanding it correctly.
Not supposed to have boots on the ground, military, CIA, or otherwise. So how the hell are we supposed to learn anything about friends or foes? Ask them nicely? I mean, I'm just saying he has some points, and I get you might not like the way he expresses some of them, but... He says, but if I'm wrong on this, where's the line? What exactly is an acceptable level of intelligence gathering?
Well, that's okay. That's a good question
right.
to ask.
Right.
But he's not asking that question. He's just what? He's calling like people idealists like Daniel Ellsberg. Yeah, quaint.
Daniel quaint. Ellsberg is, I think it's a totally different case than this.
He talks about quaint.
What did he blow the whistle on here?
He mentioned quaint idealism.
You know,
like ending the Vietnam War and sexism and racism.
It is totally different than
quaint.
Snowden.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what this
if
guy
you'd
said.
Like to join, if you'd like to join the argument, call 1-800-STEP-12.
Please, won't you?
Explain quaint
and
idealism.
What should remain secretive? I'd honestly like to know. Reality dictates there's a generally acceptable splinter of government intrusion into our personal lives. The personal information containing your tax return, a mandatory process for all American citizens every April, is far greater than anything the NSA might have. Same goes for the U.S. Census data. The IRS also has direct access to your bank account, can seize your money via tax levy. It can demand to see your financial records and shopping receipts during an audit. If you're evasive, it can fine or imprison you. So while any NSA overreach ought to be checked, it ought to be kept in perspective. But that's not happening. It's his point. I'm old enough to remember the 2000 election when the left abandoned Al Gore because, among other things, he was just like the Republican nominee George W. Bush. Wait! I was one of the idiots who voted for Ralph Nader because I naively believed what prominent liberal activists like Michael Moore said at the time, the two parties are the same, and that the only way to break the paradigm is to vote for the third party. Yeah, that worked out well, didn't it? There are observable, proven realities about politics and governing this massive nation that can't be ignored. In that case, we should have supported Al Gore while smartly and pragmatically applying leftward pressure. Instead, many of us reached for an impossible, unrealistic goal and violently choked in the process. Anyway, he just finishes by saying, flailing indiscriminate activism is worse than no activism at all.
Flailing indiscriminate activism. There's
the only,
another quaint phrase.
Yeah, like the activism that almost killed this radio show during the primary.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wow. Well,
yes,
that.
And half of the show's in progressive radio.
That's right.
But okay. The thing is, the Al Gore didn't lose because of Ralph Nader. He lost because they stole it.
Okay. The only activism that will continue a leftward political trend will be pragmatic, thoughtful, smart activism that embraces reality and a healthy skepticism. However, a surefire way to be marginalized is to act like the fire-eating, paranoid crackpot screaming about conspiracy theories and deifying unvetted heroes. I just thought there was some good points in it. And I thought there was some good points in the Daniel Ellsberg piece that you read. But, and even Hal said yesterday he has a healthy skepticism about this. But are there parts of this Patriot Act we should look at? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I just don't want the left to become like the right and look at everything as black and white.
Right.
You know, there are shades of gray in this whole thing. And people, you know, both sides are
correct. Well, that's what I mean. Well, how do you dismiss Al Franken's whole life and career because you don't like what he said about this issue? Not you. I'm saying believe me.
Yes.
I have seen it, believe me, online and wherever.
Sure.
Let's go to Judith in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judith.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you. I love your show.
Thank you.
Yes, the complexity of the issues. And the more we talk about these issues, the more complex they get. And we have to have all of these opinions from crackpots as well, because they bring up teeny little pieces that we think about or that come up a little bit later.
Right.
Also, when things come out originally, they don't contain all of the information. And as people have their opinions and push on it, then politicians start bringing things to the fore and we start learning more and we see how complex these issues are.
Right, right. But that's what I'm saying, is the left, we're supposed to be the ones that understand nuance and different, you know, positions on things and allow a bigger tent.
Exactly. Yes, so even us idealists or, you know, utopians, our voice is also needed. Because if there's nobody out there to say, I want peace, if there's no one to fight that, then there would be no peace. I mean, some ideal, some utopian thought that Ireland and England could get along.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about this with Melissa Fitzgerald next hour. Somebody, a group asked her to sign a thing about this NSA thing. She thought about it, and she said, I can't put my name to this. I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad you're agitating. But that's what I'm saying. We should allow for different points of view on this whole thing. Let's go to John in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, John.
Hi, Steph. You know, I think this is a fantastic conversation you guys are having. It's something I miss dearly that we used to have.
And Jim and I are going to have the best makeup sex we always do after shows like this. It's quite a fatal attraction elevator ride down after the show.
Hey, you know, whatever it takes. You know. but this is the kind of thing we used to be able to have with the Republicans when they were sane. We used to have good debates about issues that were important instead of getting sidetracked on all the BS. And it's it's great that we're having the discussion. It's just a shame we had to split the
left. John, we used to have more Republican guests on the old version of the show, but now how do you no, fetuses don't masturbate. You're a moron. Like how much longer a discussion can you have, right?
Yes, that's what it's devolved to. So I mean, if we have to argue amongst ourselves to still have good debates, I guess that's what we'll do.
We're developing a two-party system within the Democratic Party, apparently. Okay. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tracy in Atlanta. Hi, Tracy. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much. Hi, Stephanie. Hello. I completely, wholeheartedly, 100% agree with you. Just 100%. And the problem is the difference between the left and the right is the left, when they get pissy, they don't vote.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that that is partially why we got this two-party Congress.
And people like Jim don't want to be blamed for, because you have a platform and everybody do not have this platform. And I think that you have to use it responsibly. So when people say, well, you were doing this and you were saying these things and people didn't vote because da 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 da, then he'll say, well, that's not my fault. I never told anybody not to vote. But it's just the left thinks differently than the right. The left thinks that if you're not down with what I feel is right and correct and moral, then I'm not going to vote for you. I'm just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and again, right, Tracy, I'm not a conspiratorial person. But somebody said that right out of the box with this NSA thing. This is designed to dispirit the president's base, you know, for the midterms. It custom made for that.
And it is a fact that Glenn Greenwald does not like President Obama. That is a fact.
Yeah.
That is just fact.
Well, and you know what? And Tracy, that's not to dismiss a lot of Glenn Greenwald's good work. I'm not here to shoot at Glenn Greenwald, but you know.
But when you are associated with the Cato Institute, I just have big question marks over everything that you say.
As Glenn Greenwald is?
Is he with the Cato Institute?
I think he is associated with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yes,
yep, Tracy.
Is.
Yep. I hear you. All right, honey. All right. 45. Gosh, lots of people have thoughts on this. What a surprise, huh? 45 minutes. Normally, at this time of the summer, we're just asking, is it raining where you are?
Yeah, or what toy killed you as a child?
What's your favorite 70s song? Okay, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. All right. Hot Bree in the city on her way in. Jim, she has some hilarious stories that involve James Gandolfini and her wedding night. I'll leave that to your imagination.
Okay.
Alrighty then.
About that and the NSA stuff. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to CJ in South Carolina. Hi, CJ.
Hi, I'm the official devil's advocate of the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right then.
And I'd like to point out that maybe this, we're looking at the Snowden thing, we're looking at the wrong thing. All Snowden did was tell us things that basically we already know. I mean, we've known for 7 years that the NSA was scooping up everything they could get on every American that ever lived. We also know that they spy on foreigners. Well, gee, that's what they were created for. But what is it that they're doing that they might want us distracted from? Could it have something to do with that multi-billion dollar Utah facility that's going to house the biggest server farm in the history of the universe, at least that we know of?
In September.
Why are they building this? Could it be that what they're doing is that they are creating dossiers on every person in America and possibly the world, which is why they need all that data storage capacity? And isn't creating dossiers specifically forbidden by the Privacy Act of 1974?
Well, that's just quaint idealism.
Right, but CJ, again, you're asking the questions, but we don't know. I mean,
nobody's asking those questions except for a handful of us.
Right.
And none of you are, nobody in the media has asked these questions.
We brought that up several times on the show.
But think about this. I want to pose something that y'all have never thought about when referring to the NSA. Do you not realize that the NSA is actually a military unit? That it is run by the military and it is being used for law enforcement activities?
Yeah, that's why a general is in charge of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
General Keith Alexander, I believe it is.
Right.
There's a law that goes back even further called the Posse Comitatus Act, which is still in force, which forbids the use of military assets for law enforcement.
That is a problem. You're absolutely right.
That
means
that the NSA is right now committing an ongoing felony crime that General Alexander is engaged in criminal activity. The idea of creating these dossiers should be the most disgusting and deplorable act that is reticent of the Stasi, the Securitate, KGB, Gestapo, secret police organization you can think of.
All right. I agree that the questions need to be asked, but before we call them the Stasi, Angela Merkel, by the way, said this yesterday.
People have concerns, precisely concerns that there may be some kind of blanket across the board gathering of information.
The president is told wary Germans that Washington is not spying on the emails of ordinary citizens and promising to step up efforts to close Guantanamo, which we'll talk about later, what he's just done on that. He held talks with Angela Merkel, gave a speech at the Brandenburg Gate in which he unveiled a proposal for new talks with Russia on shaping nuclear arsenals.
Yeah, except Putin doesn't want to talk.
Yes.
If you look at the body language
there. The president is trying to relax me with these jokes.
It's not working.
Yes.
We don't joke in Russia.
Yeah, Russia not famous for their comedians.
No. Charles in L.A., you're on the
stage. Not even Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah. Well, there was him.
Yeah, well, he wasn't
What
funny.
A country.
I don't think he's actually Russian
morning.
Either.
Oh.
Hey, Charles.
Hey, yeah, anything could happen. Somebody could run a red light and hit CJ. The thing is that this NSA is doing a good job. They prevented a subway bombing. I understand about 50... terrorist attacks have been blocked by this service. I think had it been in place, it would have been easier to catch the hijackers. They could have cross-checked phone numbers and maybe saw where, hey, these group of guys are calling the same flight school.
Yeah, well, Charles, this is what I said to you yesterday, is that you can question this particular plot or that one, but you can't say none have been foiled. Like, nothing's ever been foiled by this. I'm sure it has.
Yeah, and so that, you know, I would rather have this esoteric discussion than one about a successful subway bombing or other mass killing of Americans.
Yeah.
So that's the thing we got to look at.
Yeah.
There's some real stuff. If you're concerned about privacy, let's look at that stop and frisk and collect DNA going on in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or they automatically swab your cheek.
This NSA thing, here's my DNA. Go ahead. Yeah. The president, Jim, yesterday said the U.S. has thwarted at least 50 threats because of its monitoring program, including planned attacks in Germany. He said so lives have been saved and the encroachment on privacy has been strictly limited. So I guess do you disbelieve him?
All right. I guess I'd have to trust what he says.
Well, and I admit to my bias. Do I trust what he says more than Bush or Cheney? Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you trust him more than Bush and Cheney,
yes.
Jim? Okay.
Okay.
At least we got that out of you.
Okay.
Good.
Yay. That's kind of a low bar.
Yeah.
Well.
Stell in Chicago, you're on the stage.
I'm aiming low here.
Hey there.
Hey, Stell.
Hey, yeah. I really think there could be a lot more common ground and keep the left united. I've seen this my whole life where there is, you know, Noam Chomsky, Z Magazine people, Green Party people, myself being one of them, And, of course, you know, more people line with the Democratic Party. I mean, these could all be together. There's no reason we have to be separate. I mean, Stephanie, you've got to understand, and I know you sympathize with the fact that there is such a thing as a line across, as overreach. For instance, you wouldn't want this kind of program under the Bush administration. So, and I know...
Well, we did have this program under the Bush administration, but yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. In that case, you would have more objections to
it. But they did it with less checks and balances, less transparency, and no warrants. So,
and what's to say if we get another Republican administration, we're going to go back to less.
I understand that. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. The good news is more Paula Deen stuff.
Oh, good.
What time is it? Has she called anyone else the N-word? We'll be back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's a beautiful. Going on in the world. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hot Bree in the City coming up this hour. She has some amazing James Gandolfini stories. He was at her wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and we'll talk about more. We'll fight more about the NSA. Let's do that. Fight.
Great.
Maybe someone will shove someone into lockers. All right. In the meantime, you need to take your organ out for this. What did Jackie just report? What's happening with the world? Exodus International is shutting down?
Yep.
They're the ex-gay Christian ministry?
Yes.
They've given up.
They admitted that they did harm
wrong.
In the world.
Sorry,
really?
Our bad. We're wrong.
Wow.
Slam.
Yeah.
Door shut. Good night. Somebody hit the lights. Wow. This is really getting something. Exodus International, a large Christian ministry that claimed to offer a cure for homosexuality, plans to shut down. Didn't the original guys that founded that run off?
They got married. Or
together?
Yeah.
In a gay way.
In the gayest way possible.
Right. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But
Position heal thyself.
Right. Right. The closure comes less than a day after Exodus released a statement apologizing to the gay community for years of undue judgment by the organization and from the Christian church as a whole. Exodus is an institution in the conservative Christian world, but we've ceased to be a living, breathing organism. For quite some time, we've been imprisoned in a worldview that's neither honoring our fellow human beings nor biblical. Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
What is happening? And now this, Joe My God, speaking of Joe My God.
Mm-hmm.
Reports that the Italian press has supposedly uncovered a hookup site for gay priests. Oh, dear.
Sounds like Grindr.
Oh, my.
It's a Grindr for priests. All right. Is the Vatican going to shut down? Is that going to happen next? All right. You know what?
We can only. Never
mind. We're shutting down. Forget it. We were all so wrong. Is it me, or is at some point, like Marcus Bachmann and Larry Craig, going to come out and get gay married right after gay marriage is made legal at the Supreme Court next week? Or am I getting a little ahead of myself? A little too overexcitable?
A little bit. You know, if the Catholic Church shut down, they could spread that wealth out to help the poor.
Yeah.
Sell
off some of those priceless works of art.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? Spanking for Jesus movement lets God-fearing husbands feel good about punishing their wives.
Oh, my God.
Is that just Jesus giving you permission to be a freak? Seriously?
Did Jesus spank Mary Magdalene?
Hot or domestic violence?
Say? You like a little spanking.
Who doesn't?
Some people don't.
Some barbarians need
to be.
We
have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
Right. Okay, we'll get to all of that a little later. But first, Paula Deen. Paula Deen clarifies she used the N-word to describe a bad black guy. So there, everyone can move on now. In case you just tuned in, we covered the story last hour. Yeah, she apparently... in a deposition, was very chatty about the use of racial slurs, etc. According to TMZ's transcript of the film deposition, a lawyer asked Deen if she's ever personally used the slur, to which Deen replies, yes, of course.
Who doesn't? Sheesh. Wow. Y'all.
These are fun facts. When pressed to give context, the only incident Deen can specifically recall happens to be a terrifying emotional one, in which she was the victim of a crime at the hands of a black man. In 1986, an armed robber held up the Georgia bank where Deen was working as a teller. Lawyer. Okay, in what context did you use the slur? Paula. Well, it was probably when a black man burst into the bank I was working at and put a gun to my head. Lawyer. Okay, and what did you say? Paula. Well, I don't remember, but the gun was dancing all around my temple. I didn't feel real favorable towards him. The lawyer then asked Deen if in a bold and crazy move she directed the N-word at the robber while he was holding a gun to her head. Deen clarifies that she used to describe him only later when recounting the story to her husband. So I guess that makes that better somehow. Had she used it since then? I'm sure I have, Dean tells the lawyer, but it's been a very long time. When pressed for the context of these other usages, Dean flails around for a little while. Maybe someone said it to me. Maybe I heard a black person say it to another black person. Maybe. Before sticking her landing with the meditation about how the South has changed a lot since the 60s. Lawyer, well, then tell me the other context in which you've used the N-word. Paula, I don't know. Maybe in repeating something that was said to me. Lawyer, like a joke? Paula, no. Probably a conversation between blacks. I don't know, but that's just not a word we use as time has gone by. Things have changed since the 60s in the South, and my children and my brother object to that word being used in any cruel or mean behavior as well as I do. Oh, I see. Well, if you don't mean it in a mean way, maybe you mean it in a
loving way.
A farcical way.
In a loving way.
Right. Since word of Dean's deposition leaked this morning, a rep has released the following statement. Ms. Dean does not condone or find the use of racial epithets acceptable. She
oh,
is looking...
Of course not.
Uh-huh. Blah, 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 blah.
Whatever.
That is PR speak if I've ever heard it.
Just what you'd expect from a cracker.
Why? Oversensitive cracker apologizes.
How rump.
Huh. All right. Thank you, Paula. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Moving on now. Mm-hmm.
Cracker covered with butter.
And mayonnaise. She loves the mayonnaise.
Oh, boy. Okay. Alan and Marilyn would rather hear Jim talk. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, hi, Steph.
Jim's for you. Yes, oh, there you are.
I'm watching you read these articles by third-party people, and when Jim wants to make a little criticism of it, you say, oh, just shut up and blow past it. But anyway.
I don't believe I've said, oh, shut up to Jim.
Well, you said never. Right. I'm not talking about that. But in any event, I think it's become beat up the messenger week again. It's the message that he's saying. And if you recall during the big gun debate when they were trying to pass that regulation, Republicans were falling all over themselves to put things in the regulations that said it will be a felony if anybody uses any of this for what it's not intended to do. Why don't we just put a few rules like that on what they can and can't do with this information? Then people will know what they can do and can't do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I mean, Alan. That's to me. There's just so much hypocrisy on the right over this because, you know, again, they're the ones screaming because it looks bad for Obama. And meanwhile, you raise a good point. They don't want any kind of tracking of any kind of any mentally ill criminal that gets a gun, right?
But they're tracking them now anyway. I don't get that.
Well, they're screaming about
they're being tracked.
Wait, and plus, they won that one on a lie and saying, oh, they're going to make a gun registry when it's specifically in the Manchin Toomey bill that there cannot be a registry. I mean, Ross in San Diego. Hi, Ross. Hello,
hello.
Ross. Yes, hi, Ross. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was dozing off after that guy whining about the Kamama Pusatata or whatever the hell he was talking about.
Pusicumatatis.
Yeah, there you go. It's the one.
That's like a rap song. What? Okay, go ahead.
I really don't know what the hell it is, but
I just wanted to say,
I think you're right on. Liberals, I swear, that's all they do is whine. It's absolutely amazing. They will find anything to whine about. It's incredible.
Well,
whining about posse comitatus being overruled.
No, you're another one, Jim, over there. You're constantly whining. It goes all the way back to the drone program. You and Chris with the yeah buts all the time. Yeah but. It's always a yeah but.
Oh, you got thrown under the bus there.
When have I said yeah but? I'm trying to bring these two together all the time.
Yeah,
so you don't know what posse comitatus is, and yet you're complaining about it. People can talk
I'm talking about liberals in general. I don't care what Kamama Pusatata is.
that was a law that was enacted in order to protect.
You're totally missing the point.
Well, no, I'm educating you on what the Posse Comitatus Act is.
You should care about it
because it was designed to protect you from the military taking over the country.
Oh my God. That's what we have to worry about, because the military taking over the country.
Without Posse Comitatus, yes.
If the military wants to take over the country,
would you like to become Somalia?
You or I could ever do to stop it. I'm sick of all this stuff.
So get rid of all this.
Or it goes back to the drones.
I don't think the military's taking over the country either, but he kind of hurt our case there. All right. Let me find another ally. Hang on.
He's kind of an ass.
Scotty Papa Flamin.
Don't leave my friend alone.
Flammy Scotty Flamin.
Bonnie in New Jersey, you're on the... Oh! Bonnie in New Jersey. Hello, Bonnie.
Yeah, hello. I think he should take the meds that I'm probably paying for and wash them down with his next six-pack. You asked a question, Stephanie, and I think this is what really, you know, is the crux of the matter. How did someone like Snowden get that level of security clearance right. when he's working for a multinational corporation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
No one without...
No, and that's what I meant. I didn't mean...
not a federal right. employee should have that kind of clearance.
Right.
And right. the fact of the matter is, this information is being collected for a profit motive.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They're going after not only the people that, you know, well, I don't know who the hell they caught because they gather too much information to be able to disseminate it, but they've gone after the environmentalists. They mm-hmm. went over. They went after Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
And people protesting the Keystone Pipeline. They're
exactly.
now deemed
exactly.
terrorists. You know.
Yeah, and when they have more power than the government does, it's not a very good thing.
Right.
And information is power.
Yep.
And this
yep.
ties right you know, into Citizens United.
Yep. And that's what I, you know, again, people write me hate mail because they think I'm disparaging Edward Snowden. I'm just saying the same thing a lot of people are saying. How does somebody like that get this level of clearance? I don't know him, but I'm just saying some of the stuff does seem a little suspect to me, and it's self-aggrandizing is all I'm saying.
Although I think you should be careful about... using a pejorative that he didn't graduate from high school.
Right.
A lot of really, really
oh,
smart
no,
computer
exactly.
hackers
gotta,
yeah. didn't right. graduate from high school because
yeah.
they were too smart
right.
for high school
yeah.
and it bored the hell
out of
them.
But mm-hmm. I never said he was a dummy.
I know.
My
but
point was, okay.
Yeah, just be careful of using that as a pejorative.
I'm not using it as a pejorative.
Okay.
Jan Denver.
Idiot. I'm not using it as a pejorative, you moron.
Good morning.
You
Good
graduated
morning.
From high school and you are a moron. Hello. Jan in Denver, City by the Bay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well,
we love you, Denver! City by the Bay!
Was yes. that with all, even going to Mr. Sesko's blog this morning, and I believe me, I read him a lot. The whole issue that I see is that we're missing the issue. The country is divided. It is divided worse than I've ever seen it, and I've been around for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
FBI dossiers aside, you know, all that stuff that went on in the 60s, we are now technologically more advanced, and we have got a country that is severely divided and fighting among themselves.
Right. Well, and Jan, and that's something we have said. That is part of this, is technology has also advanced to a degree, you know, so it is not just this program, but since even the Bush administration started this program, the technology is so... you know, we were talking about some new gadgets for cars yesterday, Jan, that, like,
exactly.
are going to, like, pretty much settle whatever is left of your privacy,
right.
but then be gone.
Right.
They drive. They drive
yeah.
for you. But my issue is, as much as anything, is that we continue to divide. Now the left is fighting the left. The right.
right
is fighting the right. The libertarians are fighting everybody, and the government's sitting back and saying the left is, you know, and there's a manipulation, and it's not by the whole government,
yep.
but there are people in the government using this divisiveness to smokescreen everything. But
yep.
one of the biggest issues that I think also needs to be addressed is the reason why Snowden got this stuff is because the NSA has been privatized.
Right.
Everything is being privatized, and we know how well that went. Blackwater is all
mm-hmm.
I got to say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that
exactly.
privatization breeds corruption.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, Jen. Jim, you were saying something? You wanted to... Oh, we were talking about the gadgets and cars.
Well, yeah, I was
yeah.
saying that things like OnStar, as you know, a good
right.
a tool it is, it can be abused because they
right.
can actually remotely shut off your engine.
Yeah.
Which in some cases, I guess, is desirable, but not if
if your car is being stolen. Yes,
yes,
it's desirable.
Right.
But that sort of thing can be abused.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
A lot of things can be abused. I can be abused.
Can we all just agree that Rand Paul's kind of a douche? Can we?
Yeah,
come on.
I think so.
Yeah, come on. All right, see? Another magical
Even
moment.
My hardcore libertarian roommate thinks Rand Paul is
kind
a douche.
Kind of a douche.
Yeah.
Kind of a douche. Okay, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's just implied, but we all know what's going on in this thought bubble. The kids don't know, but we do.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yes, all right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. You're frowning. Is something going horribly awry?
No, I'm trying to research what went on during hour one.
Oh, okay.
I've been asked to provide information right away.
Oh, dear. All right. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Couldn't be the least bit interested. Okay.
Kevin, I know you couldn't.
Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
God, you look hot when the camera focused on you fixing your face.
Oh, thank you.
But that distracts a little bit from what I must say. I don't want to silence the Michael Moores or the Jim Ward of the world. You guys are definitely needed. But you've got to
But we're just saying you agree with Glenn Beck on this one. Good luck with that.
You guys have got to learn to walk and chew gum at the same time. The fact of the matter is we have two binary choices, too. And the technology was out before Obama came in. So the only two choices we have, since it was there, it's not going anywhere in the immediate future, is to secure the party, you know, because it's not just one topic we have to deal with. We have to deal with voting rights. We have to deal with women's reproductive rights. So many issues that Democrats will fight for, and they
tiny,
will not.
Tiny masturbating fetuses. Many problems.
Precisely. So do you want to – I get it. No one is happy with this, but we're with it. We can work to remove it and make sure that the party that's for what we're for is kept in power. Didn't we just learn from losing the – and Jim, by the way, I have to tell you, it's not just that the election was stolen, but it's also true that if Ralph Nader didn't run, it wouldn't have been close enough to steal. That is both
right.
are true. It never should have been stolen, but if Nader hadn't run,
right.
it would have been close enough to
right.
steal.
Right, and Kevin, that's why I'm saying Bob Seska, like, instead of, you know, shooting at him now, go look, he's a Nader voter. Is he not liberal enough for you?
Is his
opinion not valid on this because it doesn't agree with yours, you know? That's all I'm saying.
Didn't you go through this, Stephanie, with the Obama-Hillary thing where,
yes.
you know, you and Randy and Ed Schultz and Keith Olbermann, they were gods, and then the next day, because you were for Obama, all of a sudden you're scum? We got to cut that out.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. And I have to tell you, it very nearly shut down progressive radio because, you know, people boycotted sponsors. They did all this stuff. And you know, again, these
we're still smarting from it.
Right,
actually.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We can do both, people. Yes, we have to do both. The civil rights movement would have been halted in its tracks if we, because of one thing, we're just not going to fight for our rights anymore.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We got to cut that out.
Listen, I remember early in the primary, Kevin, do you know how many black people called and said, you stupid, naive little white girl. This country
really?
Will never
yeah.
elect a black man. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
you just wait.
Heard a lot of that.
But, you know, and by the way, guess who's going to be at the forefront of trying to get Hillary elected in 2016? Me!
Thank you.
So you're off the Biden bus?
Dahlias!
You're off the Biden bus?
Me too. You remember how upset I was? I argued with, I forgot his name. I'm sorry. Some comedian that you had on that was for Hillary. But we made up because I said, you know, if she ends up winning, I'm with that. We can walk
right.
and chew gum at the same time.
Right.
I don't get this.
And
did you see
Chris trying to divide us already over Joe Biden? Did you see what he did there?
Yeah, exactly.
You were all for Joe Biden before Hillary started giving hints.
That was only when I was having my picture taken with him.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
thank you. No, I don't.
Uh-huh.
See, that will be another horrible choice.
It won't
be. I love Joe Biden.
No, everybody
but I don't
loves
think
Hillary.
I don't think he's going to run if Hillary's going to run, is all I'm saying. But yeah, I do love Joe. How dare you? You have to start dividing us now.
Oh, my God. Really?
Really?
Seriously?
Really? Charlotte and Columbia.
Yeah, he's the one dividing.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Hi.
I'm just firing indiscriminately this morning. Hello, Charlotte.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Thank you all for giving us a forum to hear more than one point of view. You allow other people to speak and say what they want to. You don't savage and brutalize them like they do on Rush Limbaugh and on O'Reilly. You are civilized, intelligent individuals, and you're a hoot to listen to.
Aww.
I love it.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Intelligent?
See, what do you two idiots think about that? Aren't we civil?
Bite me.
Nice to each other?
Bite
Screw
me.
You. 29 minutes after the hour. And you don't even deserve to have hot brie next, but you're going to get it anyway, Jim. Melissa Fitzgerald next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
How may I, in all humble servitude, be of assistance?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim's making that weird sound. I wonder what it could be. Why? Why?
Oh, that.
Yeah. Why, good morning, Melissa Fitzgerald.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
First of all, we...
Me too.
Thank you.
All right.
Although you guys were fighting this morning.
Yeah.
I know. Mom and Dad were fighting.
I know.
Welcome into the family.
Oh,
fight.
Well, she likes to read articles by guys who talk about, the quaint...
neoconritis that voted for Nader. Okay. Join the family.
Idealism.
Like Melissa, your family. Join the family. Jump into the fray. Go ahead.
I heard. I was listening.
All right. Jump into the fray. Because we've had this conversation because you may run for Congress. And there's this schism on the left about people that are pragmatic and want to get elected. And in some cases, I think people that are agitators. And we need both. And you were saying yesterday, I think.
Well, I think we do need both because I think we need to have a conversation. And I think having people with different points of view is really important. What I think is very dangerous is silencing people who disagree with you and vilifying them.
Shut up.
Oh, you've gotten very comfortable with her now. All right, fine. See, that's how you know your family.
But I do, and I think that's a problem. And I see the problem really clearly around this issue.
Right.
And, I heard you guys talking earlier about the organization Free Press that had sent me a letter and asked me to put my name on it. And it wasn't that I disagreed with what they were asking to do.
No, I love them. You love them. You spoke at their convention in Denver, right?
And in fact, I encourage people to go on their website because they have some great information, freepress.net, and they're terrific. But I didn't feel ready. I waited to reply to the email for about a week because I was hoping that something would speak to me where I could because I agree with them on a lot of things. But I thought, you know what? I'm happy that they're voicing this particular opinion and asking for what they're asking for. It's just not my stance exactly.
Right.
I need more information. Well, they were asking to halt the surveillance right away and they were asking for an investigation, which I agree with, but halting the surveillance, it just seemed for me too much. This point.
Yeah.
But that's how I read the letter, and perhaps other people would read it differently. So I do encourage people to read what they're asking themselves.
Well, and Alan Grayson, who there's a lovely picture of you and I bookending him at the inauguration.
That was so fun.
Which I'm sure he has on his office wall. But but again, I've mentioned this, but had him on, love him. And we absolutely need the Alan Graysons of the world out there. Do I wish we could get Medicare for All? Has he put bills out like that? Yes, but we know politically they're not going to get done. Mm-hmm. And it was this bill, too, that I think, to me, read like 0% security, 100% privacy. And I think we've talked about the president, I think, being right about there's got to be some balance. And we should have the conversation.
Yeah. And I'm really happy that there are people advocating for 100% privacy.
Right.
I don't think that's where we should land.
Right, because I don't want to be 100% dead.
It's not, because also part of this argument, I think, is about technology.
Right.
Technology
has
changed.
Right.
So we have to change along with it. And, but at the same time, am I comfortable with Obama being in charge of this? Yes. Would I be comfortable with George Bush being in charge
or
of this?
Mitt
was
Romney?
I?
Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So I also have to be honest about that.
Right.
Am I comfortable with any president having these powers? And the answer is probably not.
Right. Are we all giant hypocrites? Yes.
Yeah.
What is your point? Okay.
What do you mean all, Kemosabe?
You too.
And the other thing I don't think is that we should land in the middle, because I think that's also a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to gather the information across the spectrum and then decide where, I think each person needs to decide where we land. And maybe that's a little towards, the left. Maybe it's a little towards the right. Maybe it's in the middle.
Right.
But when people say, let's go to the middle, I think that's also inaccurate and not a good idea.
But they used to call it cop-out.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're a huge Russ Feingold fan, as am
huge.
I. As am I. You worked with him on the issues regarding Africa, right?
Yes, absolutely. And he's fantastic.
He's the only one that voted against the Patriot Act, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I love Russ Feingold. I cried when he lost. I mean, I did. I cried. My neighbor said, why are you crying?
I cried when he wouldn't marry me, but that's a whole other thing. That
yeah, and he wouldn't come back on the show after that.
I don't know. Awkward.
The future Mrs. Feingold, I think, was his official title.
Whatever.
Or your official title.
Right. But anyway, Yeah, it's...
Thought I missed that one.
Well, yeah. See, we don't want to... That's what I'm saying is we want to leave room for opinions on our side. It goes on the right. You just did a gun event in back in...
Yes, I did.
You got to tell us about this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I did, for the first time, get called a Nazi, which
right.
was very...
Right.
I thought of you, of course, immediately.
By a guy pointing a gun at her.
A woman, right. by the way.
Oh, a woman pointing a gun at
Not
you.
Not pointing, holding.
Holding.
Right. And which scared me enough, because I got there and I didn't know that there would be it was a rally promoting universal background checks,
right?
And pretty basic, innocuous. Most people want right. it, so I expected it to be a nice little rally. And then I got there and I saw there were a lot of people with "Don't tread on me" signs, and I thought, huh, that's unusual. And then I looked a little closer. They were having big guns and rifles, right. open carry, and yelling at people and yelling at me, and.
Right.
Even before I got up on the stage, before they knew that I was speaking,
right.
That's when that woman called me a Nazi. So I just thought, what is it about?
You're like, thanks a lot, Governor Rendell. Thanks for being here. This is fun. This is a fun afternoon.
But you know what it was? And they gave me the option to go home. They said, look, I'm sure this is not what you signed up for exactly. But, they said, so if you want to go home. And I said, well, I want to go home. But I absolutely want to go home now. But I'm not going to because I don't want to be intimidated out of speaking my truth. And I think that was the idea, was to stop people from speaking their truth. Yeah. And I remember just feeling like, what's so scary about me saying I would
You're
like...
You're
Nazi! Because I think you were saying, and you were wearing...
Liberal Nazi!
You were wearing a flowered dress, and I think flowered dress right away says swastika.
Yeah, I was actually wearing like sort of mom jeans, sensible shoes, and a sweater that had little... Florets on flowers on it.
Right. And just very much like the SS. what?
Well, you think of the brown shirts.
Right, right. Okay. So, by the way, so we were also talking yesterday in other news. James Gandolfini, very sad, and you knew him, and he was at your wedding. You have to tell, you have a couple great James Gandolfini stories.
He was just a lovely person, and I worked with him for a very brief moment in time back in... I actually had to look it up. It was so long ago. We did a play together in 1997.
Wow.
And it was a play called Remembrance, and it's a modern Irish classic, and Sean Penn produced it so that his parents could be in it together. His father was ill, and he knew that he didn't have that much longer to live, and he wanted to give that as a gift. So it was a really kind of a unique experience to work on that with them all. And Jimmy was just such a beautiful, beautiful actor. And... I was telling you that he was just such a gifted artist, and the play took place in Northern Ireland. Well, he went to Northern Ireland just for a couple days. He only had a couple days because he was also shooting the pilot of The Sopranos.
Right.
It was before he knew any of us knew it was going to be. Because
this
he
little
said,
show probably won't go.
That's exactly. Yeah. We had a table reading of the play, and then he said, well, I got to go back to the East Coast because I'm going to do this HBO pilot for this thing.
And back then, HBO shows weren't what they are today. Right. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's great. He's like, yeah. And then he finished the pilot, and then we only had 2 days, I think, before we started rehearsals. He flew to Northern Ireland just to sort of feel the people and feel the place and get the accent.
Did he get the accent down?
Yeah, he did. He was amazing.
Boy, Jim, some people really slack around with their accents. I mean, really?
And he was just wonderful. And, I heard somebody say that he treated everybody with a tremendous amount of respect, no matter who they were, and that was absolutely true. I thought he was a really lovely guy. And at my wedding, a bunch of my friends lived in New York, and a lot of my friends were broke at the time and that I got married. And he's like, does anyone need a ride back to New York? I'm driving. And, a bunch of my friends loaded into his car, and he drove a bunch of them back to New York after our wedding. I mean, he was just a sweet, good, gentle guy.
That would seem scary. I would feel like I would end up in a field in New Jersey somewhere.
No. And, he hired a friend of mine who was, out of work at the time, and he needed sort of an assistant, and,
wait a minute. Why are we driving to Secaucus?
Wait a minute. What?
Why are
Why is Big Pussy here? I don't understand what's happening.
This is my better one.
Yes.
The funniest one.
Wedding
I forgot.
Night story.
Wedding night story. So... Okay. We stayed till the very end of our wedding and just danced, and a core group of my friends did too, and my family. And so at the end of the night, we're all going back to the hotel, and my ex-husband and I were locked out of our hotel room.
Oh,
and
no.
Jimmy was on the same floor, and he'd gotten off the elevator at the same time as we did. And he saw that we was like, I got this. Stay right there. And he just ran really quickly. You know, he's not the fastest, but he ran really quickly and, you know, came right back and had the key. And he was really adorable.
Aww.
And just a sweet guy.
Yeah, I bet you they came up with that quick when Tony Soprano asked.
Yeah.
They probably gave him every key. Here.
That was before...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was
the prior Sopranos.
To, I mean, it was before it sort of was a big hit.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, not everyone has a wedding night story that involves James Gandolfini, so top that. Top that.
Your move.
Right? Your move, everybody. Hot three for the checkmate. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with more hot three in the city on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald, live in studio with us, telling some great James Gandolfini stories. And the only other stories that are better? Nephew stories.
They are the best.
Right. Her nephew, mostly excited she's here because this is Captain America's underpants, and I do fart jokes.
Yep.
And somebody else's nephew had some advice for you this morning.
He did. Well, it was actually yesterday morning. We were going hiking. I was going hiking. His aunt is my really good friend, and she brought him along. And I put you guys on in the car driving to the hiking site, and I said, what do you think? You know, do you think you have any good fart jokes for me so I can tell them tomorrow? And he's like, what's a fart joke? And I said, it's a joke about farts. And he thought about it for a second. He goes, why don't you just fart?
All right.
And I said, well, I don't think that would be very nice to those guys. And he listened for a second. He goes, I think those guys can take it.
We can. All right.
Just as long as you don't pull a Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Excuse me?
What's that?
From that movie where he...
Oh, okay.
The Roker.
Al Roker. Al Roker.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Al Roker, a little too much information. He did a duty in the White House. All right, let's not talk about...
Ooh.
Something slipped out. What?
Ooh.
I got something on my tooth?
Yeah.
All right, here's the president.
One of the things you discover as a politician is that people don't always do exactly what you want. It's shocking. And then you have to keep on working at it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been talking about, right? Political reality against what we would like to see accomplished. And, you know, he was talking, by the way, about the NSA stuff. He said, this is not a situation in which we are rifling through the ordinary emails of German citizens or American citizens or French citizens or anybody else. This is not a situation where we simply go into the Internet and start searching any way we want. This is a circumscribed, you know what I'm saying, a system directed at us being able to protect our people, and all of it is done under oversight of the courts. So, you know, as you said, like, it's good that we're having this conversation, but, you know, I think...
I'm not comfortable with them halting it right at this moment. I'm not comfortable with that. I am comfortable saying, you know what, if you go outside very, you know, the very limited parameters that supposedly exist there...
Right.
There should be some serious jail time for that. Like, if you use it to expose a sex scandal or anything like that, put them in jail.
Right. Karl Rove, by the way, had some thoughts on this. Would you like to hear? Yes. He said President Obama and Dick Cheney are different when it comes to national security. The president, he says, didn't have the guts to defend the NSA front, which he did defend the NSA.
Yeah, he kind of did to the detriment of the left.
Yeah, right. Whatever. Rove weighed in on Obama's recent remarks about the NSA's programs, in which he sought to distance himself from comparisons to Cheney. He said he's right, he's not Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney at least had the guts to step up and defend those national security agency programs where the president was sending out underlings. No, the president's been talking about it, so I don't know. In order to defend it himself and then going on a TV talk program as he fled the country for the G8 meeting? That's him fleeing the country? You mean like every other president to attend a G8 meeting?
Where he's on camera every day giving speeches and addressing this very issue?
Right.
Please. And the other thing is, how he differs from Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney basically says, shut up. I know stuff you don't know.
Right.
You don't have a right to have an opinion, and nobody should have a conversation about this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the president's not saying that.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the another issue on the left, obviously, is Gitmo. The president addressing that yesterday.
And in America, that means redoubling our efforts to close the prison at Guantanamo.
You know, and this is another subject where I'm going, you can't just put the blame on the president. He couldn't, you know, and partially this has to do with Democrats, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we can't put all the blame on the president, and I just think that's been a really easy thing to do the past few years, and I am getting a little bit tired of that. And then you look at what's going on in the House and the Senate, and we can't hold the president doesn't act alone.
Yeah, well, which is why we need to get out and vote. But Clifford Sloan is the new guy in charge of there isn't actually an office of Guantanamo closure. Did you know that? He just appointed him to take it over. And I guess, you know, I mean, what the thought is this guy is a pretty serious guy. I mean, you know, meaning that he really could get it done. Vice President of the American Center for Progress said it certainly means they're back in the game here. White House counsel Gregory Craig said, my first reaction to them appointing Cliff to this job was that President Obama and Secretary Kerry really knew what they were doing when they asked him to take on this assignment. When you look at all the qualities that he's going to bring to the job, I'm suddenly optimistic that we'll get this done. So, our friend Jim Moran, by the way, who we've had on a lot, he made some good points. He said the people brought there before 2006 are mostly there because they were turned in for bounties, and the majority of them have never been in combat against the U.S. or any of our allies, and the vast majority have been approved for release. So,
wow. You
know, it seems it really is like past time we get something done. So,
That's exciting then.
Yeah. And if we had a President Romney, he would have, what, quadrupled the size of it? Didn't he say? Double the size of it?
Yeah.
Something.
Great.
Right. Perfect.
He's not our president, so
God. Thank you, God. Daryl in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Daryl.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to add to the conversation on the increase in technology. I couldn't help thinking of a comment made about technology and human nature by Albert Einstein in the 1950s.
Uh-huh.
Einstein said that human beings have two opposite sides. They have love, compassion, caring, or better side. And he also said that they also have aggression, greed, and hatred. He finished up by saying which side dominates determines the fate of the species.
Right.
So what do you think? What do you think of that?
I think he was smart. I don't know. I dozed off there for a moment. I think that was very smart. I'm not sure what his point was, but all right. By the way, speaking of nephew stories, it involves a bathing suit, Jim, so you'll enjoy the story. Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, it seems like it's the running theme now that my one nephew's like, well, he did a little video of himself, and he's like, well, he starts it. We all know my aunt is chubby. And he's like, and we're going to just follow her now. And I was in the bathroom, and I sort of, you know, and he goes, I'm the producer. And he has chocolate all over his chin. I'm like, oh, the producer. And then I hear him coming towards the bathroom, so I slam the door and lock it really quickly. And in his best Philadelphia accent, he goes, she just locked the door on me. Well, that's how the family goes. So I was totally afraid.
Is he from the Poconos?
Exactly. I was afraid the Philly accent was disappearing. There was a big article about it. But with my nephew and Chris Matthews, I think we're safe.
Fair enough.
The bathing suit one.
So then you came down in your bathing suit, right?
So I'm in a bathing suit, and my other nephew gets in on the action, and he's like, you know, I think you're a little old to be wearing a bikini.
Oh.
I think, like, younger people should wear bikinis. And I'm like, okay, but this is a one-piece, by the way. He goes, well, I think you need to be younger to wear that bathing suit.
No. Oh,
and
dear.
I said, really? Precious. Like, what's wrong with this bathing suit? And he goes, you're in it.
Oh.
Aren't the kids just magic?
So sweet.
Kids say the darndest things.
Aren't they just magic for our self-esteem?
Maybe what he meant is that the problem is that you're in it and not out of it.
I doubt it. He told me that I would look better in a box or a paper bag. Those were his two suggestions for me.
That tells me that's not what he meant.
Little dudes don't know what big dudes like.
But it's good for, you know, my self-esteem.
Right. It's
fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good decision.
I'll
not
be the judge
kids.
Of that.
Yeah. Jim will need to check that out in a minute. Chris in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Melissa. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Okay, here's my thing. I was high school teacher for 35 years. I know really smart kids that are like, the Snowden character, and they go on, and yeah, they are smart, but what they don't have is they don't have texture. They don't have the breadth of information, which I always told the kids, go to college because you get that universality. So he's kind of like one of those kids in Real Genius, where they're focused laser on one thing,
yeah,
but they don't realize the interconnectedness of it.
Right. Right.
And they don't see that. And that was what my point was.
Yeah. All right, honey. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Hot Bree remains with us. Margaret Cho coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mm-hmm. 58 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, and even more beautiful today. Why? Because Hot Bree in the City's here. Actress Melissa Fitzgerald live in studio. Jim on his best behavior so far. Okay. Except for what you just said during the break.
What?
No. That was for off-air.
This is Gigaba. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, Travis just brought this in a very broadcast news fashion.
Yes.
Because, you know, we have a little more estrogen in the fort this morning. Officials question a Florida bra-shaking police search. Jim, if you were a police officer, this would be you. Mm. The state attorney representing Polk County is calling the actions of a Lakeland police officer who instructed a woman to shake out her bra during a drug search highly questionable. He asked the woman to lift her shirt above her stomach and pull her bra away from her
to drug
chest.
I'm an officer of the law.
Yes.
Plain clothes.
There
but,
were no
you know.
Drugs, as it turned out. No.
Oh, well, how unfortunate for him.
That's not good.
But, from the boobies. Yes. All right.
Wow.
Boy.
Although, I do stick money down there sometimes if
Jim.
I don't want to carry it or
Jim.
Whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
Jim
when you're on the stripper pole.
Jim will need some confirmation of that. Okay. All right, in other chick news, we were saying, well, looky there, science. HPV infections fell by half in teen girls after having the vaccine. I just blinded myself with that, according to a new study. Infections with the human, exactly. Let's just say HPV, shall we?
Yeah.
We're short on time. Fell by more than half in U.S. teen girls after the HPV vaccine was introduced in 2006, despite high-profile controversy, if you can call Michelle Bachmann, a noted scientist, controversial. As you recall, she suggested that it could cause mental retardation.
Well, you know, any vaccine, some people are going to have a bad reaction to. There's always going to be a certain segment of the population, but they decided that.
Right. Although she bases her science on, a woman told me that one somewhere.
I heard it from some girl
Some gal told me.
I'm going to miss her so.
You are not.
I am. I am.
Jehovah God.
I'm going to miss her.
I know.
Terribly.
Lord, the day is at
Please,
hand.
Form a prayer circle.
We are in the last days.
Okay.
You are
right.
Jehovah God.
Okay. Eat it. As you recall, Texas Governor Rick Perry issued an executive order mandating all sixth grade girls be required to get the vaccination. And then he had to disavow it because of the crazy clown car it was another oops of the Republican primary. Even now, only about a third of U.S. teen girls aged 13 to 17 have had the full series of shots that prevent HPV infection, despite repeated studies that show the vaccine is safe and effective. So I know it's just they're such an anti-science. Party.
And it's not, you know, an innocuous thing. I think it said there are 12,000 cases of cervical cancer a year and 4,000 deaths a year in the United States. It's not nothing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, so.
And let's not even talk about the impact on Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Listen, that's not
exactly.
No, what's important is.
Proof he's not gay.
Right?
Boy,
he is
he
not
ever.
Having sex with Matt Damon. That is for sure. Wow. How about this guy? Speaking of, I saved all the chick stories for you.
Woo.
Okay. Indiana teacher counsels female graduates to be mothers and not CEOs.
Oh,
he's like the anti-Cheryl. What's her name? I see. This is
anti-Cheryl Crow?
Cheryl
Sandberg, who said women should lean forward.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
It is lean
in.
That,
I think it was lean
right.
In.
Lean in. It is so confusing. Which way do we lean now? It's, or do you lean forward if you're watching this, MSNBC, but not too far into the blueberry pie? It's all so confusing. What he said is, a teacher in Greentown, Indiana gave a controversial speech. Here's an excerpt. Ladies, I challenge you to a life of rebellion, to recognize that your body is a temple, is deserving of honor, not indiscretion. I challenge you to be women of virtue, finding beauty not in how many unprincipled men you can attract, but rather in finding beauty in modesty and self-respect. I challenge you to devote yourself to family and to your children. If you choose to have a career, God's blessings upon you. But I challenge you to recognize what the world scoffs at, that your greatest role of your life will be that of a wife and mother. That is the greatest impact you will ever contribute to the world.
Because you're a chick.
Is
so
a loving,
you know,
devoted
how chicks are.
Investment to the lives of your precious children. Mm. To solve the problems plaguing our society, we don't need more women as CEOs. We need more women as invested mothers.
Hmm.
That is so offensive. That made me really angry, actually.
Did you realize they just picked 4 women astronauts?
Right.
There's that.
Yeah. And Melissa and I obviously both failed human beings.
Yeah.
Might as well just shut out the lights. And it's too late for me, as you often have noticed.
Well, because your eggs are dusty.
Go ahead. Oh. So I will never.
Oh. That's horrible.
Well, it's true.
But accurate.
It's like she it's like she spits out tumbleweeds instead of eggs.
Right.
The creek peepers are out there.
Couple of tumbleweeds, couple of barroom doors.
Sure.
Swinging in the wind.
Far away dog.
Tammy in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Tammy in Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Hi, Tammy.
I finally got through.
Right.
All these so-called scandals. Benghazi was a true tragedy.
Uh-huh.
Yes. But the real scandal for the IRS is that all those groups on the right need to be revisited and to adhere to the social content and not political. Also, Snowden needs to come back and face the music, be let free for being a whistleblower, or face it for being a criminal, one way or the other.
Right, that's what everybody says.
All right. Okay. She was a little scattershot there.
Yeah, she couldn't pick a side. He either needs to be praised or thrown in jail.
I thought we had a troll, but no. Oh. All right. Let's go to John in Austin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Melissa. Hi, John.
Yeah, I want to address this circular fire spot we got going this morning.
And you're sending a telegraph at the same time. Good for you. Yes, hi, John.
Hello. Did you hear what I just said?
John, you're going to have to try us.
Is he on a ham radio?
No, I believe a sneaker phone from Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
Good for you. Good for you. Wow. Hey, speaking of Obama bashers, what's Fox News going to do with this story? Guess who says that the president is a war criminal? Bill Ayers.
I saw that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Her head's just, Sean Hannity's ginormous Fred Flintstone head just exploded.
Yeah.
I was watching Bill. You can't trust anything Bill Ayers. Wait, he said what?
What?
I was watching Bill O'Reilly last night, and he had Kirsten Powers on, who's the Fox liberal.
Right.
And he was like, so, are you aligning yourself with Bill Ayers? And she's like, no, Bill. I don't think anybody aligns themselves with Bill Ayers.
No, but nice try.
Yeah. Lou Ayers, maybe.
Right. Bill Ayers believes President Obama should be put on trial for war crimes at The Hague. He told, Real Clear Politics, he absolutely believes the president was engaged in terrorism for his use of drone strikes in fighting the war on terror. Absolutely every president in the century should be put on trial, every one of them, for war crimes. Absolutely. All right. Is that going to be on Fox at all, do you think? Or...
Crap, I agree with Bill Ayers. What am I going to do? Oh!
This is hilarious. Hilarious. All right. Hey, speaking of that, Bachman, here she is on immigration and the A word.
Amnesty costs a fortune. Amnesty could also cost something more than
inside
just
voice.
Money.
Inside voice.
It could cost a nation.
Yes! Cost a nation!
Who, did anybody tell Ronald Reagan? That amnesty could cost the nation?
Yeah.
There I go again.
I guess not.
Okay.
Those are the kind of reasoned thoughts one finds at a Michelle Bachmann rally. That guy.
Call the nation! Woo! Yeah! Woo! What am I cheering for? I don't remember.
I got to hear that one again, just for that guy. Just for Herp Derp in the crowd. Here we go.
Amnesty costs a fortune. Amnesty could also cost something more than just money. It could cost a nation.
Yeah! Arr! Mongo-like! Mongo-like!
many people are named Mongo at Michelle Hoffman rally? One has to wonder. Oh, boy.
Mr. Mongo? I prefer to
you. You know the only thing that can make Michelle Bachman look smart?
What?
Louis Gohmert.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Because we'll give you a chance to work, but we should not be giving a chance to be a taker.
A tiger. Tiger.
Not going to give you a chance to be a taker. Ain't going to happen.
Did Mongo move to that rally then?
Yeah!
It's the same rally.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He was resting.
He was, yeah.
It's so funny, these people who talk about the takers that come from the states that are taking more than they're hanging in.
Texas takes a hell of a lot.
I know they do. I'm like, go ahead, secede, save us a lot of money.
Yeah.
Who's the smartest prettiest girl in the world? Okay, Dennis Lynch, filmmaker at the anti-amnesty rally.
There are people who are coming here who want to come to cut your lawn and have a better life. But there are people who want to cut your throat.
Oh. Yes. Ah! Thousands, millions of them want to cut your throat.
That must be where all the headless bodies. That's what happened to all the headless bodies in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course, if we legalized marijuana, then the drug lords wouldn't have a job.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Actually, you do find headless bodies in the desert.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. You do.
Dave,
there's a lot of holes in the desert. Some of them got bodies in them.
Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Melissa. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. Say, yesterday, Michelle Bachman talking about how she got to work with, wanted to work with the tax department of the IRS because she wanted to be on the inside and know how the enemy worked. Well, this gave me a whole new insight into her marriage. Obviously, she married Marcus Bachman so she would understand what it was like to be with a homosexual.
Right.
Clearly, she is just the best mole ever.
Yes. Yes, as John Finkelstein says, both against gay marriage and in one. Very, very clever. Thank you, Dave.
You're quite welcome, dear.
All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, she is a mole. We have a mole inside this organization.
There's a mole inside this organization.
There's a mole in this marriage. Okay.
I thought the mole was Ed Snowden.
Right. I don't know.
Is that big mole? Big...
Right. Oh, that's a different kind of mole entirely.
Oh, I see.
Can agree he should get that checked.
Yeah, he really does.
And Aaron Neville would like it back.
It's big.
Okay.
And
I don't know much, but I do know.
It was like a brown pencil eraser. You couldn't tear your eye away from it, seriously.
Oh, all right. Okay, we've come. Okay, he always comes unhinged around you. Don't worry about it. All right, 17
well,
minutes.
It's also the day before vacation, so what do you expect from us?
We become like a bunch of Michelle Bachman-like rally members. Okay.
Mongo like!
That's all we got. 17 minutes after the hour.
Hulk smash!
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
To be dirty little freaks, but you can't be dancy and fancy.
No, no.
Okay,
no,
good to know.
No, make a note of it. Make a note of all of it. 23 minutes. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800 step 12. The phone number. Oh, John's on a better phone. Hello, John in Austin. You're on with Melissa. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got knocked off a while ago. Listen, I want to address the circular firing squad we got going this morning.
Yeah.
And I got to say that we can be as idealistic about this as we want, but this has been going on since World War II, following the technology all along, and the only difference is that occasionally people get caught. And I would a whole lot rather somebody like Obama and a Democrat administration have this power than some others I can think of. And the degree to which we fight with each other over this makes it less likely we'll have somebody like that in office.
Yeah, but I mean, John, what about the argument about, you know, what if a Republican's in office next time? I mean, I do think it's worth having the conversation about this stuff, don't you?
Oh yeah, I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about it, but we should have a united front. And I think
that's easier said than done.
The Patriot Act definitely needs to be tweaked, and this is a really good opportunity to do it. But we can't do it by firing off at each other and snipping at each other's heels. We've got to try to have a united front.
Another problem is that the corporatocracy, for lack of a better word, is sort of overtaking the government. Mm-hmm. We're losing the public sector.
Has overtaken.
Yeah.
And but we still have some power, and I think that the degree to which we dilute ourselves by arguing among ourselves, that dilutes our power, and we can't do anything about it. That's what they want. They want us to fight. And we're up against the corporatocracy, like you say, and that the government is owned, the wholly owned subsidiary of global corporations.
Right.
But we can still do something about it.
Yep, I hear you. All right. We were saying it's a technology thing, and you know, because the only reason your nephews like you is because you know how to do jib jabs.
And I barely know how to do that.
People still do jib jabs?
Oh, I do them all the time.
Really?
That's why my nephews like me.
Okay.
I have five nephews, and every time they see me, did you bring your computer? Can we do some jib jabs?
Right.
That's about it.
All right.
Right. They're all about bringing your enormous Hollywood ego back into control.
Well, I was laughing.
On Mother's Day, you had another great story.
Well, I was laughing, you know, because that reminded me, that guy's speech to the graduating ladies.
Yes.
Reminded me of my nephews, because we were having brunch on Mother's Day morning, and it was my nephews and me, and there was a mother and a son sitting next to us, an adult son and an older woman, and she thought I was my nephew's mother, and she turned to us and said, "Well, happy Mother's Day." And my nephew looks at her and he goes, "She's not a mother. She's just a worthless aunt."
Oh.
And I said to him later, I'm like, did you mean that when you said I was just... He goes, "Of course not. Get serious."
I don't know why I always hear a sitcom laugh track every time you tell your nephew something. Oh, kids. Oh, they're
Say
hilarious.
The darndest things.
Oh, they're hilarious. God. I'm going to go home and sniff glue now. All right.
Oops, I just started World War III.
Kids. Oh, darn it. Also, you wanted to give a shout-out to a friend.
Yes, a friend of mine is dealing with some health issues, and he's also a huge fan of the show, so I just wanted to give a shout-out to Kevin. Kevin, you have so many people who love you, and we're all pulling for you. Stay strong.
Yay. Kevin, you have exquisite taste in both bronze and broadcasting. We love you. We love you, love you. So I brought up immigration before the Michael Tomasky, who I will date and kiss and marry.
Eventually.
Only a matter of time now that Russ Feingold has rejected me. But he wrote a great piece about today's GOP versus tomorrow's GOP on immigration, and that they very well may torpedo this and their chances of ever winning the presidency again because of the House Republicans. Because they have, he basically was saying, they've gerrymandered themselves into these snow white districts where they only have to worry about someone running to the right of them.
Yeah.
And that he thinks, well, when he thought this was a slam dunk, when they lost the Hispanic vote, 70-something to 20? But he's saying he thinks it may not, you know, it may not get done. What do you think? I don't know what's going to happen. The boner is, looking a little drunker than usual.
Well, I think that's a huge problem. I think, we've talked about it with the gun legislation.
Yeah.
I think that that's partly what happened there, too. So, not the gerrymandering, but I think concern about people running to the right.
Yeah.
I think that that was part of it.
And Lindsey Graham, well-known Southern belle, Lindsey Graham, said he said the GOP faces a demographic death spiral if it does not pass immigration reform. And that's the biggest vapor he's had recently, which is saying something. But, and Mike Tomasky was saying that he thought this was going to be a slam dunk getting this done. But, the more and more you listen to what's happening, it looks like it may not. He said, Boehner's told reporters Tuesday morning, "I don't see any way of bringing an immigration bill to the floor that doesn't have a majority support of Republicans. If that's really the case, then this is over." Tomasky says it doesn't have anything close to a majority, but there's a lot of guessing among insiders that it might not really be the case, that operatives like Karl Rove, the party's money people, may get to Boehner and help and have him break the Hastert rule. So we'll see. I mean, just how that's what we thought on background checks. We're like, how can something that 90% of the American people want not get done? But it didn't.
That is also reasonable and makes sense and is a solution that we're kind of, that everybody can agree on.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Except the people in the House Republican Party, who are a bunch of candidates.
Asshats. All right.
What?
They're asshats.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hot Brie in the City, what a delight, as always.
Thank you very much. I had such a good time.
Yay.
Jim, try to remain.
I will stay right here.
Just
keep my hands and feet.
Put your hands and feet inside the studio until Hot Brie exits the studio. 29 minutes after the hour. Margaret Cho next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I respect this bitch. I love this bitch.
Oh, I'm a sucker for Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Well, looky there. Drop Dead Diva. How did I happen to have this in my hands? It gets a lifetime reprieve. It is back.
That's right.
As is our good friend Margaret Cho. Hi, Margaret Cho.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations. The series came back from the dead.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Right?
I think it's really great.
I know.
It's so cool. Well, I've never seen that happen before.
Well, I know. I mean, there was such a huge fan outcry, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think what's great about it is that social media is really giving a lot of power back into the fans' hands, you know, and that's a great thing. It's great for the show, for sure, and that's very exciting.
Well, I mean, and I was going to say, I was just reading a separate news piece about it today from USA Today, and they were saying, I mean, it literally was canceled. I mean, this hardly ever happens where it literally was canceled, and now it returns this Sunday, right?
Yes, it returns this Sunday on Lifetime, and that's so great. It's our fifth season, and we love it so much. It's a lot of fun to do, and it's interesting to go back and play a character 5 years in a row. Something I've never done, so
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us about the series for people that haven't tuned in, because I love the premise of it.
Well, the premise is about a model who dies and is reincarnated in the body of a lawyer. And so the whole thing is really about whether women are, you know, kind of put it to, like, we decide whether we're going to be beautiful or smart in our lives. And we're never able to really kind of be both, but this show is really about what if you could be both, what if you could be everything, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, well, and she's described as a brilliant plus-sized attorney, right?
Mm-hmm. And she's really, you know, she's just so involved in the life of the mind, and, you know, never really gave a sort of thought about the physical world, and then, you know, but then she sort of goes through this transformation where she's really somebody that utilized the physical world the whole time. So it's a very different kind of a story, and I think people really love it.
Well, and an interesting one for you, because you are, by the way, cute as a button.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. But have you've talked about when you got your network series, like what you had to go through to try to be physically what they wanted you to be, right?
Well, yeah, and it was weird because the show was developed around me, and then I was really they demanded that I lose weight to play the role of myself. Kind of crazy.
We envision a Margaret Cho, but a thinner Margaret Cho, right?
But it's weird when, you know, they're sort of demanding that of you, and especially for somebody who's a comedian. I mean, I don't think that that's fair, and it's very different standards for men and women, too. You know,
right.
So it's like, you know, sort of men are allowed to sort of be who they are, and women are constantly scrutinized for who they are and what they look like, and it can be a really painful kind of thing to deal with. So it's great to be on a show that really celebrates women in every way. So that's great.
Yeah. What I see, there's a lot of great guest stars coming up, and John Ratzenberger is one of them. You heard? Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
He's
somebody saw him at the bar at the hotel we keep all the actors in, and it was so cheers.
It was so cheers. Yeah,
so cheers.
I thought it was interesting, though, because you're, you know, an outspoken liberal, and, you know, I didn't realize that he was conservative, but he made news recently. He was talking about, you know, spreading Alan West's genetic material across the United States. Do you ever get in political conversations with him?
I haven't actually seen him, aside from the bar.
Okay.
He's really cheers. So I don't know.
Not appropriate.
But at the bar, we all come together. Everybody knows your name.
Awesome. Yeah. I have said that we could get more done in Washington with a lot more drinking, like they used to do in my dad's day.
Yeah, you know, 30% of liberals who make excellent mulch.
he did not ever say that. Margaret Cho, you've been obviously such an outspoken gay rights advocate, and we are like this close to Supreme Court rulings. What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's got to, you know, they've got to strike down DOMA. I mean, it's got to happen, and it's got to, you know, I think gay marriage is really an equal rights issue. It's not really about relationships, not about, it's not even really an LGBT issue. It's really about equal rights for everyone. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I know I keep wanting to be really hopeful, but I mean, it seems like all the experts are saying Prop 8 is not going to, you know, they're not going to make it legal in, across the entire country. It's going to go be a narrow ruling in California.
Yeah, but it's really something that it has to kind of happen on a federal level. I don't think it's a state decision. I think it's really a constitutional one, and it's something that we have to uphold about equality. That's way more important.
I agree.
Keep people's views on, you know, sexuality or whatever they are.
I personally wish that your mom could have argued the case at the Supreme Court, because the way you talk about your mom talking about your dad.
They have to make it legal. They have to. I'm gay.
That's some of my favorite stories. He's about your mom talking about your dad.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
He's because he don't punch gays. It's like kind of an anti-gay, gay bashing piece, but it's just all of the, you know, don't punch people that.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
It's a very basic thing. Yeah.
By the way, Chris Lavoie is presently wearing a T-shirt that says "Where the Bears Are."
Yes, you and I have something in common. You and I are in season two of "Where the Bears Are" on, which is an online web show. And
it's a great show. Yes.
Yeah, I believe
you. What do you play on it?
I play Danny Pendleton, the Republican politician.
Yeah. That's so great. It's so fun.
Yeah,
it's a
and
show. I love those guys.
Yeah, and your episode debuts today at wherethebearsare.tv.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have not seen it yet. They've kept it under wraps. I've seen the show, but I haven't seen my episode, so I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Who do you play in it?
I play a dominatrix that sort of terrorizes all of the guys, and they're pretty scared.
So typecasting,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And they let me keep the cat suit, which is really nice.
Cool. Nice.
I got paid in a sense.
Now you and I have something in common. I played a dominatrix in my one film with Jeremy Piven.
Ooh.
Yes.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, well, listen, it allows you to work out a few issues. By the way, I was going to say the other story we did today, speaking of gay rights, did you see Exodus, you know, the ex-gay Christian ministry? Yeah. They just announced they're shutting down, and they apologized.
Good. Yeah, they've issued an apology for everything they've done.
Oh, that's really great.
Yeah.
That's really great. Good, because they should be apologizing, because it's a terrible thing. But I think that was also founded by people who were gay.
Right, and they ended up running off together in a gay way. So that kind of tended to hurt their cause.
I think that's a really positive thing. I mean, I think that those kinds of institutions are really harmful to young people and just to, in general, to the world. And so that's a good thing that happened.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was a little shocked by that. Now I'm hoping Marcus Bachmann will come out and announce his marrying.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I'm hoping to hook him up with Senator Larry Craig, the Republican that got caught in the bathroom.
What do you think of that?
Right.
Be so beautiful together. I would totally perform their wedding. And then we could pay Elton John $1 million.
That's right. As penance for what he did at Rush Limbaugh's wedding.
Exactly. Exactly. Margaret Cho, it Drop Dead Diva. It is back on Lifetime this Sunday. Margaret, always a pleasure, honey. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. There she goes.
Yay!
Dirty, nasty, little, dirty boy. And you are a barbarian who needs to be disciplined.
Girl can dream. Marcus could be the stylist for his own wedding. It will all be so much fun. All right. Oh, hey, looky, I forgot this.
Right wing.
Hey, you know those fiscal conservatives, Jim? Those, mm-hmm. John Cornyn's three pensions make for one uncomfortable GOP situation.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
How did he get three pensions?
He stole them from other people, I guess.
Yeah, Daily Beast asking, is this outright hypocrisy from the Republican Senate deficit hawk?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas likes to present himself as a deficit hawk, a red state conservative who, quote, believes Congress must be a good steward of taxpayers' money, as his official website declares, and that fiscal responsibility is the cornerstone for good governance. Uh-huh. So the revelation, in the National Journal that he is collecting three different state government pensions while receiving his federal salary as a senator is slightly off-message, just a tad inconvenient as he gets ready to run again for a third term. Governor Transvaginal Bob, Governor Bob McDonnell of Virginia, yeah. Another one. Mm-hmm. He and his wife sent Virginia state employees on personal errands for their adult children, charged taxpayers for such expenses as sunscreen, dog vitamins, and a detox cleanse. And are under
who needed to get detoxed?
One would wonder.
Huh. Hmm. Interesting.
Someone who's very toxic.
They are under FBI and grand jury investigation for allegedly accepting a campaign donor's improper $15,000 catering payment for their daughter's wedding. Oh, no. Triple dipping. Yet another challenge for the Republican brand. Texas Governor Rick Perry. Here's some more fun facts.
All right.
Yeah, he is taking advantage of a law. This takes some brass ones. He's, taking advantage of a law that permits him to pocket his $92,000 annual early pension while continuing to cash his $150,000 salary check. In other words, he's accepting retirement benefits for a job he still continues to hold that he's not retired from.
Huh.
Oh, oops.
You think budget hawks like that would speak up against that kind of...
Huh, that sort of excess.
That sort of mishigas.
Outrage. Oh, my God.
Sort of poppycock.
Right. Hmm. Hey, speaking of...
Right-wing hypocrites!
Oh, who brings us this one? Gawker. There is a Q&A with Sean Hannity. You might want to not check out in the latest, Playboy?
Playboy, yes.
Yes, one of the nuggets. He wears only the Donald Trump brand ties on his TV show. And he may run for office if that's what Jesus has planned for him.
Oh, really?
Huh?
What, did Mark Levin write that for him?
Can I just say, I did not think that's what Jesus wants. I think that would make maybe Jesus cry.
It would make maybe Jesus cry.
This is the transcript. Playboy, Trump was one of the most vocal skeptics of Obama's American citizenship. You've also said Obama grew up in Kenya. Do you regret saying that now? Hannity, but he did grow up in Kenya.
No.
And he told the New York Times he went to school there, and one of the most beautiful things on the planet is Islamic prayer at sunset. Playboy, are you fueling the myth that Obama is a Muslim from Africa by saying that? Hannity, I never fueled the myth. How do you come up with this stuff? He did go to a Muslim school. He writes about it in his own book. Playboy, he did not grow up in Kenya. Hannity, he went to a Muslim school in Indonesia or wherever it was. Kenya, I forget.
Kenya-nesia.
On the other side of the world from each other.
Indonesia.
Yeah, Gawker writes, Kenya, Indonesia. What's the difference when the nation's full of a bunch of people who aren't white? For the record, President Obama lived in Indonesia from 1967 to 71. When he was a little boy, he never grew up in Kenya.
God, what a dope.
Kenya, Indonesia,
they
whatever.
Pay that guy lots of money.
Whatever. Lots of money.
There.
To fly in a private jet to all of his appearances.
Some U.S. Americans could use some maps. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving.
Well, like 6 to 9 on the West Coast.
9 to 5.
Yikes. We stayed up stupid stuff in 3 hours. Good God. 50 minutes after the hour. And tomorrow? Probably the stupidest stuff ever. If you thought the show was weird this week, tomorrow's the last day before vacation.
Yep.
And it's going to be weird.
Whee.
And Friday's with Sexy Liberal John Fugel.
And there will be some go-go's.
Right.
Go-go's.
Awesome. Oh, that's right. Vacation. Yeah. All right. We have, speaking of marriage equality, we were just talking to Margaret Cho about diving great Greg Louganis to marry this fall, to marry his partner this fall. Mm-hmm. That'll make a big splash.
Hey!
All right.
Just don't hit your head this time.
Yeah. No, don't hit your head. Watch your head. Because he's the type. Okay. Hey, speaking of weddings, remember I was up in Carmel visiting my friend for the big, what's his name, Facebook guy's wedding.
Sean Parker.
Yeah, the one where he cut down a whole redwood forest. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. He put a lot of stuff on the beach he wasn't supposed to, so he paid a big fine.
Yeah, he had that on him, $2.5 million.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever, here it is. Sean Parker says he's being spat upon and hunted by psychopaths ever since he got married. He said his life has descended into hell. He said my wife and I should be happy right now, elated to have been married. Instead, we're getting spat upon by complete strangers while walking together on the street, cursed at by a waiter in a restaurant. There are crazy people on Facebook. Well, maybe you shouldn't have invented it if you didn't want crazy people on Facebook.
He
See, did I tell you it's the source of all evil, Facebook?
Didn't he fund it?
High tech.
I don't think he invented it. He funded it.
Whatever.
Okay.
So there's crazy people on Facebook typing death threats. There were people, echo terrorists, on my own Facebook page saying, let's find this guy and put him out of his misery. Psychopaths are hunting me.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Echo terrorists?
Because it was an environmental thing he did.
He put a lot of stuff on the beach he wasn't supposed to.
Right.
I don't think he destroyed the beach because they kind of returned it to its pristine condition. But
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Serena Williams, she might have stepped in just a tiny bit. I didn't hear about it. Oh, dear. In a Rolling Stone profile, she was talking about the Steubenville rape trial.
Uh-huh.
She's, when you start a sentence with, I'm not blaming the girl, but... That never ends well. She said, do you think it was fair what they got? They did something stupid, but I don't know. I'm not blaming the girl, but... That's where you should end it. But if you're a 16-year-old and you're drunk like that, your parents should teach you don't take drinks from other people. She's 16. Why was she drunk where she doesn't remember? It could have been much, much worse. She's lucky. Obviously, I don't know. Maybe she wasn't a virgin. But she shouldn't have put herself in that position unless they slipped or something. Then that's different. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Perhaps some people should stick to tennis.
She has since apologized for those comments.
Yes. She realized it in retrospect, perhaps.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen, can I have my marijuana music, please? Because I have two. I have two stories in a row.
Okay.
Seth Rogen says he's one of the very few celebrities who will openly admit to smoking marijuana, the Mary Jane cigarettes, as the kids are calling them,
marijuana
in 1974.
I don't even think they called him that in 1974.
He said he's a self-confessed stoner, but believes there are other famous actors who use weed but are too scared to admit they do. He said, I do understand why people are fascinated. There are very few people who are famous who openly talk about doing something that is technically illegal, although this should not be by any, it shouldn't be by any means, and I get why that's fascinating to people. Okay. Marijuana moms, it's a thing. It's a thing now, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana moms say smoking weed makes them better parents. The HuffPo brings us the story. There's a buzz happening in Beverly Hills over a group of women who call themselves marijuana moms. They're a loosely knit group of pot-smoking parents who smoke the wacky weed in order to relax or cope with chronic pain. In addition, they meet regularly for lavish dinners where the herb is a key ingredient.
Okay.
Cheryl Schumann, a 53-year-old mother of two, says the group's joint mission. I get it.
Joint
says,
mission.
Yeah, there's a million.
And they're loose knit. So does that mean they do macrame?
Right.
Wait.
Their mission is to show that smoking marijuana makes them better parents and better wives.
Wait, didn't you say that?
January Thomas, 37, not only tokes up to five times a day, yikes, when she looks after her daughter, two-year-old Zena, but she reads her children books with titles like Mommy's Funny Medicine. And it's just a plant. Marijuana makes me a better and more creative parent, she said, I bet.
Sure.
It puts me in the moment with Zena and stops me worrying about everyday problems. Another one of these really stone housewives of Beverly Hills credits ganja with saving her marriage to her husband of 14 years who happens to be a cop.
Huh.
Not a very observant one.
I say nothing.
She's married to Colonel Klink.
Not Colonel Klink.
She said marijuana parents aren't perfect, but they're far less imperfect than parents who use alcohol irresponsibly. Oh, well, now you're barking up my tree.
Yeah.
I mean, Schultz. That's who you're thinking of. Schultz.
Sergeant Schultz. Sergeant Schultz.
I'm sorry. Sergeant Schultz, not Colonel Klink. What was I saying?
I didn't watch Hogan's Heroes.
What?
You're fired.
Sorry.
Speaking of the military, Wall Street Journal editorial board member James Taranto, that guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote in a column posted Monday night that the campaign against sexual assault in the military has turned into a war on men that aims to criminalize male sexuality.
If it's unwanted...
Yes.
Then it is criminal.
Yes, stop picking on the rapist.
If you're raping somebody...
Right.
How...
yeah.
I don't like him. I don't like James Taranto.
I don't either.
He makes me wrinkle my nose.
Here's my favorite excuse for a speeder lately. Driver who went 112 miles an hour, I was drying my car.
Right.
Sure.
He was drying off his freshly washed car. That's what the Canadian man told the Mounties when they stopped him doing 112.
Good day, eh? I was just drying my car, eh?
Well, the Mounties are a lot faster than they used to be.
They're not on horseback
That's just a phrase They actually use cars and stuff.
They probably don't wear jodhpurs wearing their cars.
No.
All right. Last day before vacation tomorrow. You don't want to miss it.
It's going to be weird.
Fridays with Fugle saying, we will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.